Welcome to the Love Irish Food Green Ireland podcast series. This is episode 12 and an essential listen for everyone in the food industry. I'm your host, Conal O'Moran. Love Irish Food is dedicated to sustainable, local Irish food and drinks brands that support the many thousands of local jobs and communities that depend on our Irish food industry. Visit loveirishfood.ie for a full list of your local brands. In this series, we're looking at topics affecting the Irish food industry, ranging from the shop local movement, funding, selling online, digital marketing, and so much more. And on this episode 12, we are looking at one of my own favourite topics, women in the Irish food industry. Joining me to talk about this issue is Mary Sadler, CEO of Cool Swan, voted the world's best cream-based liqueur, and that has recently won a major UK multiple listing, as well as having secured a US distributor, bringing her Meath-based drinks product to all 50 US states. And we have Noreen Gallagher, the boss at the relatively new plant-based food startup called Planted, that has no end of world ambitions. Luckily for Planted, Noreen has a CV as long as my arm, having worked with Unilever, McCain, Nike, and Glanbia. Ladies, welcome to the podcast. Women working in the industry. Mary, since I know you so well, you can be very forthright about this. Enough people, enough women in the industry? Could there be more? How should more women get into the industry? Is it a good industry for women? Discuss.
Yeah, there can never be enough women, first of all. And second of all, I would say it's a good industry for women. It's particularly grounded in day-to-day life from the retail end of it right down to the production end. So I think it suits a female profile and particular female traits.
Such as?
Just that planning, organization, understanding the role that food plays in lifestyle. The one downside of it, I think, is that it's a very tight margin business. So you have to be very careful with how you apply your resources. So that would be, and I think women, I think there's a trait in people that are good at that. And if you're good at that, male or female, you'll do well in the food business.
And would you recommend the food industry over other industries be that? I don't know. Take your choice. Automobile industry, tech industry, gardening, whatever you want to do. But what's the big attraction for you into the food industry in
how
particular?
Real it is. So we make a cream liqueur. So we have a dairy herd. We milk the dairy herd and we turn it into Cool Swan. It's just a fascinating process.
If only it were that simple, though, have to go and sell it.
Yeah, well, that's true. I'd forgotten that. But it's just that it suits me. I'm not interested in property. I was never interested in software. I love what it can do. It can enable your life. But nothing, I couldn't imagine myself coding all day. And it's interesting. I have three teenage daughters and the second girl is studying engineering. And she has discovered she prefers certain parts of it over other parts of it. So it's interesting, there are traits and characteristics you as an individual have. But if you've the traits for the food, if you've certain traits, the food industry is the right place to go with them.
Noreen, we better start by asking you, what about Planted itself? Because it is a relatively new, how new company?
We're incorporated just over 2 years. So we kicked off the business really at the start of the pandemic. So that was an interesting time to start a business and to move out of corporate life into a startup at that time was really, really interesting. And I'd say, you know, it's with the benefit of hindsight, the pandemic has been kind to us because it probably slowed us down a little bit to make sure we got our branding right, got our purpose right, got our plans right to help us accelerate and to reach the ambition that we have for the business.
Which is vast.
It is indeed. So we plan to be in 15 countries by the end of this year. So we're going fast. We're just back from LA where we were exhibiting at the World Expo West in Anaheim in California. It's a massive show. There's over 100,000 attendees at that show and we were busy. We were flat out now for 3 days. So myself and 10 others were manning our booth over there and we had a huge amount of interest and a lot of follow-up to do subsequently. So I'm on calls now every night until about 10 o'clock with US retailers wanting to list our product. So it's a nice problem to have.
And everybody should at least know Mary's product, which is Cool Swan. What are, because I know there are a number of products, the Planted products?
The Planted product range consists of meat-free products, chicken-free products, veggie products and fish-free. So we've just launched a whole new, a plethora of new products, and we've also got an egg-free omelette as well that we've just launched. So a lot of these products are available locally here in Ireland now up through the key retailers, through key food service partners, through some of the key restaurant and cafe chains. So we're really starting to make a mark here at home. We're making a mark in the UK. We've landed in the US. We're landing in Canada. We've landed in Northern Europe. We've landed in mainland Europe. So we're off. Middle East, Noreen, as well.
That's the ad. Now, why are you, as a CEO of the company, as good, if not better, than a man? Because women in the industry, what is the attraction for you into it? And why would you tell other people to get into it?
I wouldn't say I'm better than a man. I wouldn't say I'm as good as every other woman. So I'd say it's very much down to your personal style, your personal attributes, what works for you, what works for your business partners, what works for your family. So I'd say what works for me and why I'm pretty good at what I do is that I listen to people quite well. I care about my team. I care about the business. And I am so results oriented at getting results. When I see those green boxes at the end of the week, you know, if we have a plan and we achieve, you know, progress against that plan, that gives me huge motivation and huge motivation for the rest of the team as well to continue on that trajectory.
And you have been over the years hugely successful, but not necessarily just in the food industry. So I did list out Unilever, you're looking in personal care.
Yeah, I was in the Dove and Timothy days and those.
McCain's, you were making chips, were you?
Frozen fries, yeah. I was selling them and marketing them.
Nike does not make food that I know of. And finally, Glanbia, presumably we're back in the food business again.
Exactly, exactly.
So really, is it the food industry that attracts you or success that attracts you?
I think a combination of both. And for me, I think coming back to Ireland, I was out of the country for about 14 years.
I can tell by the accent.
Yeah, I think this has stuck with me for the rest of my days. So myself and Daniel will just have to enjoy talking like each other for the next number of years. But I think for me, being out of the country, I think it's much easier to be successful in other industries abroad. I think in Ireland, there aren't as many industries, especially in the likes of the fashion world as there is, say, in the UK or mainland Europe or in the US. And I think Ireland, in terms of one of the industries that we are so good in, is food. You know, families always need to be fed. Kids are always hungry. Mothers are always looking for easy meal solutions. And that's where I think our opportunity lies. So for me, the food industry, getting back home was really, really important to me. So I think my career in this country, if I were to move abroad again, it would be a different story. But my career in this country, I think, will be in food for the rest of my days.
And both of you, though, have chosen to go international, not in a small way. It's not back in the day, you might say, yeah, we're going to open up a small plant in UK. But Mary, 50 US states?
Yep.
How many of the multiples in the UK have you got?
So there's four multiples own 68% of the market in the UK.
That you've cracked?
Yeah, of the spirits market.
And that is not easy.
No.
How hard, as you said, overnight success after 10 years?
It's really tough. And we're in a tough category, a very tough category.
And I know that the reason that you're in that category is because of the cows.
Yeah.
But which you have chosen, is there, when you lie in bed awake at night, do you say, oh, why am I not doing something simpler? Be that in some kind of food or drink.
No, funnily enough, even though it's, I think two things, Noreen's right, like it's indigenous here. So certainly a cream liqueur is part of kind of what we do. And it's...
not any cream liqueur, the world's
number
best.
One. Yes. And then the other side of it is what we set out to do was to try and bring up the category. So it was to be the river dance to the standard Irish dancing. And we're really pleased that we did that because it's a fabulous category. It just... you know, through retail and growth, it happens in growth, you get some dilution of the nature of the product that you're trying to bring to the market. So we're really pleased that we did that, but it's a tough climb. I often say to people, if I knew then what I know now, I'm not sure I'd have jumped in as quickly.
But that's now answers a question indirectly,
yeah.
But you can't tell me what else you might have done.
No, one thing I can tell you is I love a challenge. I've only discovered that the last few years, the harder the climb, I always seem to volunteer for it. So there must be something in my traits, which is back again to what Noreen was saying, are you better than anybody? Are you better male, female? It's actually your traits that you have. And to me, that'd be the big thing if you were advising anybody. Figure out what your strengths are. And then, of course, what your weaknesses are. And they're often your strengths, right? Because my strength is definitely, I will jump off a cliff. You give me the single chance and an opportunity at the end of it. I'll go unplanned, unlike Noreen was referring to there. I'll go and my poor team come out after me with the parachute. But I will take those leaps. But it's absolutely in me. I've only discovered how deep in me it is over the last few years.
And you have a single product at the moment, but I did read on my briefing notes that you have plans to broaden that out.
Yes, we have some very good innovation projects coming up.
Whisper in my ear.
Oh,
what are you thinking?
Couldn't possibly.
Because what you don't know about Noreen is they have to invent new products literally all of the time. Isn't that it? Because you have to match whatever's going down.
I think the category is so competitive that we want to stay ahead. So innovation is really the lifeblood of this category right here, right now. And we're trying to be a little bit different from everyone else in this space. We don't want to be a me too coming into the category. So again, with our innovation and product team behind the scenes, there's a huge amount of work going on. So I think the innovation will slow down once we kind of get to a base level sales. But right here, right now, you have to drive it hard to understand what's going to work in the key markets, because what works in Ireland or in the UK might not necessarily work in the US or in the Middle East.
What was the experience when you were over in California in terms of, you know, being an Irish product, being an Irish-based plant-based product?
I think being Irish-based and being plant-based, I think the fact that we basically have great-tasting product that happens to be plant-based was a bigger opportunity for us than talking about plant-based.
Now, you are going to say that about your own product. We are the best.
Tasting is believing, yeah. Connell. I'll get you some samples and you can taste them yourself and you will know.
I don't doubt you. What did the Americans say?
Americans absolutely loved the product. I think the fact that we're Irish means that there's an open door, that whole food heritage that Ireland stands for. And again, you know, with the help of Board B and a lot of the other Irish companies, we're really, really well set and well kind of set apart from our competitors as well there. But the general feedback from the US retailers was that our fish-free product is better than anything that they have tasted in the plant-based space globally. And our egg-free product is very new and very novel. And we've actually brought the spice bag to the US. Do you know the Irish traditional product, the spice bag that you take and you normally have on a Friday night after a few pints? This product, we've actually launched a chicken-free spice bag. And the fact that it's so innovative and so different was really, really well received in the US.
And to base yourself in Ireland, great place to be, and trying to ship product, be it bottles of liqueur or be it plant-based product, we are on the edge of Europe. We're a long way away from, say, in your case, Noreen, California.
Mm-hmm.
Does that ever cross your mind that maybe this isn't such a good idea?
Well, we've been here before. So my brother has done all of this before in terms of Promise, you know, the gluten-free brand that he developed over the years. So he's been shipping product from Ardra and Southwest Donegal to the US and Canada every week for the last 10, 15 years. So
when I heard, first of all, about that, I didn't believe what I read. It is the number one?
It's the number one gluten-free brand in Canada. It's very
shipped out of Donegal.
Shipped out of Ardra.
That actually makes my head still spin and I say, no, that's not possible.
So that's doable. So if you think that that's doable, and again, they started off shipping half a container, shipping containers, and now they're shipping multiple containers. So, you know, so for me, that model, if we kind of fast forward and think of where gluten-free was and where, I suppose, plant-based milks were 10, 15 years ago, when you fast forward to this category where it's going to go, it really does give me the confidence that the growth is there and the opportunity is there, if you're prepared to go out and put the hard effort behind it, because it's not going to happen easily. And again, shipping containers from, we're shipping them now from Dublin to the US. Transportation costs have gone through the roof recently. So that's, again, back to Mary's point about margins being tight. Margins are really tight at the moment. But if we're trying to build a business from scratch, you have no choice. Because if we don't go now and we wait, you know, until potentially transportation costs could reduce, we'll have missed the boat, excuse the pun. You know, and
they also
and
can go up. That's one of the things about when do you choose? When do you choose? So there's one other thing I learned about the Promise bread is that it goes out chilled or frozen.
Frozen.
And then they, what's the term? Shaked.
Slack.
I knew there was some word like that they use.
Well done, you.
When you ship planted food, is it frozen or?
We ship it frozen and it's sold in the frozen category today. And again, one of the key reasons for doing that is wastage. There's a lot of wastage from shipping chilled product all around the world. And again, as this category is growing, it's taking its toll in terms of wastage. So frozen is a much better opportunity. And also through the pandemic, frozen food sales, you know, more than double digit growth across the board. So for us being in the frozen category is a safer place and a more sustainable place for now.
And we always imagine that somebody else's business is easier. But Mary, in your case, shipping bottles from Ireland over to the US, that's only the beginning of the journey, because the whole distribution thing there is just a mind bender.
Oh, yeah, I know. You had Katie tonight and she's on our board. So, yeah, it's complicated. It's a distribution everywhere is complicated, mm-hmm. to be fair. If you're in retail, if you're in cosmetics or healthcare, or it's complicated because there's only so many spaces on a shelf. So you have to work really hard to get your product onto that, Jeff. So we see it as real estate. If we're going to be on it, we're going to keep turning it and making a value to the retailer. So getting into that network is hard work. And scaling up, I would say that's the biggest. The initial first few steps for us into the market were okay, but then we hit this kind of growth spot and we had to pull back so that we could really build a structure that would scale to where we need to be and where the brand will go to. So yeah, getting it across North America. Mind you, they're good logistically. I have to say North America is a great spot. Our worst case ever was in 2018. I woke up one morning to have six to the radio telling me tariffs had just been put on by Mr. Trump on Irish cream liqueurs. And in the space, we'd stock on the sea because we had missed our original slot.
We would have been
landed in the US 2 weeks earlier. And I rang our operations director and he said, no, we missed that slot. So we're still on the sea. We defined $85,000. I still don't know to this day. So that's the funny thing about business.
You paid that tariff.
We had to pay that tariff. Sure. Once it landed, you'd no choice. And that tariff lasted 18 months. It was the arrival of Biden that took it away. But that was, and I still don't know to this day, because people say, how are you coping with everything going on? I said, it started in 2018 with Mr. Trump and we got Brexit, then we got COVID. And then we took on the hit of what's occurring, sadly, in Ukraine at the moment. But it's just, I don't know how you do it. I don't know. Sometimes I think there's a destiny. I stand back from the brand or the business and I think.
You are listening to the Love Irish Food podcast. For more information, visit www.loveirishfood.ie.
Well, you, Mary, have admitted you're as daft as a brush about this, that you don't know what makes you do this and that you would jump off a cliff. Noreen, why do you do it?
I enjoy the challenge. Simply, I enjoy what I do. I enjoy building businesses. I enjoy building brands. And I enjoy building teams.
Oh, where does that come from? You might have been happier, I don't know, sailing the seven seas, playing football for Donegal.
I suffer from seasickness, so that wouldn't work.
Playing football for Donegal, doing something like that.
Two left feet.
Okay. So you kind of ran out of choices.
No, I think a lot of it comes again from growing up in a family bakery business. So we got used to working at a very young age. So, you know, our free time was spent in
working.
The bakery, working. You know, we had a lot of fun
doing
it.
Do not see that as a contradiction, that my free time was working.
Yeah, but I think for us, we didn't see it as work. It was family time. You know, in the bakery, we'd go to the bakery in the evenings, we'd go to the bakery at the weekends, and everybody had their job to do. So work was part of our life. So we didn't really see it as work. And I suppose it's still very much the same today. You know, we don't clock in and clock out. It's whatever needs to be done gets done. If it's morning, if it's nighttime, whenever. So it's part of your life as opposed to that, you know, people say, you know, by trying to get the balance right between work and your personal life. Like, to me, work-life balance is what you create yourself. So if you're doing something you enjoy, it doesn't feel like it's work and therefore your overall life is much better balanced. So that's very much the attitude and the approach that I take on a day-to-day basis.
And how big is the team now?
Today we have just over 30 people in the team, but we're expanding in the US, building the team in the US, building the team in Canada, building the team in the UK. So yeah, we'll ramp it up fairly quickly.
And as you said, you're taking phone calls morning, noon, night, middle of the night.
Depending on what time zone our customers are in, we have to adapt until we get people in those local markets.
But even then, you'll still have to take those phone calls because that's when the business will be done, correct?
Yeah, but hopefully they'll have some help and support that I won't have to do all of those calls morning, noon and night myself. But today, as a startup, that's what it takes.
And at 30 people, when will you double that?
Well, if that doubled within the next 8-9 months.
I love your ambition. And the big ambition will be what? Are you going to take on the world? Is the idea to build a brand and then to flip it? Or
the idea is to build an international brand and an international business. And I suppose for us then, we'll sit and wait and see how it goes. I don't know how many years that's going to take us. Is that going to take us 3, 4, 5 years? I don't know right here, right now. If only I had that crystal ball. But right here, right now, our ambition would be to take on, 15, 20 countries very, very quickly, build a team, an international team, build an international brand, and a brand that people recognise globally. You know, if you walk into a Target in the States or a Sprouts or a Whole Foods, there's Planted. That would give me so much.
You know, something I've just thought of is both of you are plant-based. Because, Mary, without your moo cows eating the grass on your farm, it ain't happening. And similar, isn't it? Presumably it has to be the future anyway. And I presume, Nora, you would agree with that?
Well, it's just the growth trajectory for this category. You know, it's kind of in the trillions is where the category is going to go. So, and if you see a lot of the major CPG companies and food ingredient companies globally investing in this space, it tells you that the category is just ripe for growth. So, and it's very much at its early stages here in Ireland, but taking off.
Now, the reason that I was asked to actually do this podcast was not to chat to you guys about your businesses, which I find fascinating, but it's to encourage women into business and into the food industry in particular. But there are so many entry points. You can, as you did, Noreen, come out of sales. Mary, you came out of, off a farm, actually. But
finance.
Finance.
Yeah.
But you can go from marketing, from technology, from brilliant courses up in, isn't it, IT Sligo, have food, technology, they're all over the place. Mm-hmm. There's the Bourbier programs, what would you say to young women who want to get into the industry? What areas would you choose? And more importantly, which ones would you say, wouldn't go into that one? Because both of you know a lot about the food industry. Mary?
What would I say? I'd say go for it. I think with anything in business, no matter what you go for, you've got to have that passion. You've got to have the interest because, as Noreen has said very clearly, there's long hours. You're battling on all fronts. There's a lot to do. It's like sometimes kind of a very big tapestry. Sometimes you're really working through an area and then you discover you have to go to another area to bring it up to speed. So there's an awful lot of juggling and managing. And it really depends on a person's motivation. And that, to me, would be the biggest trait I would think you'd have to have is a passion and motivation. It isn't for the faint-hearted. You're not making widgets. This is a complicated, it's a very busy network food. It's full of different products, different brands, chilled ambience. We're in the alcohol sector, so we're controlled by a huge amount of regulations. And you've got to know your sector and you've got to know why you're doing it. And I'd encourage anyone to do it. It's a great business. Back to what the reward, I guess, is really seeing your product on the shelf. And then
what is that like? What was it like when you saw the first one sitting on a shelf? Well, where was the first one, actually? There is a question for you.
A Super Value.
Okay. You walked into Super Value somewhere and what you saw your product that you had dreamt of how many years before?
Do you know, I thought it must have been what it's like to get an Academy Award for film because it's your product. Like
that is very exciting.
You've done everything to get that there. And what's even more exciting is I was at a function recently and somebody turned to me and said, I don't know if you've ever heard of this brand, Cool Swan. It's amazing. I was like, oh my God, we've done it.
That's cool.
That's cool.
That's brilliant.
So it is. I always feel it's like as if you're an actor and you win an Academy Award. I think because there's a tremendous sense of real satisfaction in having gotten it from the grass to the cow to the bottle and everybody you've to work with in between. So back to what Nori was saying, the team structures are just huge. And not just your own team, But the teams that you sell into, the teams that you market with, it's a massive network.
Noreen, same question, because you have had successes for other people, and now, as you say, you're doing it yourself. What's that like? Where did you find or see your first planted product on a shelf?
Our first planted product was on a shelf in Tesco. And I have to say there was a
in
little...
Ireland or...
In Tesco here in Ireland, and there was a tear in my eye the first day.
Tell me, so which Tesco did you walk into?
It was Tesco in Greystones. And when I saw the product on shelf, I just thought, you know, all the effort and the hard work really has paid off. And then especially when I spoke with the guy that was managing the frozen food section, he said, yeah, it's selling really well. That was the part that I really got excited about.
And did that fella know that you were related to the product?
I didn't really say very much for a while. And then I just kind of said to him, you know, I kind of asked him for his phone number just so that I could keep in touch with him to make sure that everything was okay in the store. And I just said that I worked for the company. So
That was very modest of you.
Yeah, well, we're modest people. We don't like doing the big I am. That's not who I'm about. It's not who any of the people behind this business. It's not what we're about.
And that was, you began with Tesco Greystones and then internationally?
Internationally, when I were in the UK, we're in Northern Europe, we're in mainland Europe. Yeah. So I saw our product for the first time last week in the US and central markets. So that's great as well. That's part of the HEB group in Texas. So I've seen our product there. So seeing the product in the US and making its way from Ireland over there. And now we're putting the in-store demos in place. So seeing somebody sampling your product and offering you your product in the US to try and to taste makes you feel really, really good. So the journey is worth it. So Mary says it's a little bit like winning an Academy Award. I'd say it's a little bit like, you know, having a baby. You know, you've got the 9-month period and then the baby arrives and it feels like, okay, it might be a little bit longer than the 9 months because of the pandemic, but sort of after, you know, a year and a bit, 18 months, our product is available internationally. That feels good.
I love the analogies because they make so much sense to me. What you didn't say yet, Noreen, is would you tell people, you've already said to young women, yes, go for the business. What areas would you say might be the easier, if anybody wants easy, or the more clever ways of getting in to the broadest sense of the food industry?
I don't think there's anything easy or I don't think there's a clever route. But what I would suggest is go with the route that you feel most passionate about. Because if it's something that your own passion is driven and related to, perhaps R&D or innovation or, I don't know, food science, or maybe it's finance or maybe it's sales, whatever discipline you're most passionate about, chances are you'll be better at it because you'll enjoy doing it. So my advice is to really understand where your passion sits. And when you understand that, then it won't feel like it's work and it won't feel like it's that uphill battle for the next 15, 20, 30, 40 years.
Well, let me ask you the same question in a different way, and I'll ask it of both of you. Where are you finding the lack of talent? Where would you say, if only we had more people for that area there? Doesn't matter what gender.
Yeah, it's a very good question. Actually, it's a very good question because what we would say is we're finding a lack of traits. And one
meaning?
Area, just that ability to see a project through, kind of that sense of ownership. Now, we're very lucky at the team we have, but when you interview and you're talking to people, that kind of, I don't know whether you'd call it, and we're an entrepreneurial environment, so it's not for everybody. So you have to be very careful too when you're interviewing that you're very clear that the space, I mean, I would be thrown out of a large corporate possibly because of the sort of the way we do things. I don't know, but so I would think it's traits mostly. I would think one area that's well looked after here and actually feeds well into your question is finance. But I think the finance network to get to those positions is really well structured. You come through layers of training. So maybe it's the training. Maybe some of these areas are wide open. Like they get a degree in marketing and in they come. I don't know what the next step in marketing is. I don't know what the next step in sales is if you come in raw to a company. So there may be more skill training needed. But yeah, we would say finance is definitely a really good feeder base for us. Sales, we've had no problem locating salespeople, but that kind of, that little extra bit in terms of that trait, we sometimes, it's harder to get than it used to be.
If they had that trait, they might want to do it themselves across the island. They might be entrepreneurial.
And they still have to get experience.
Have you, where would you say that?
I think getting strong analytical support is really imperative to success today. Getting on the shelf is the first thing. So a good salesperson should be able to get your product on shelf. A good marketing person should be able to help get it off the shelf. However, the analytics around the whole piece, around, you know, if your sell-through data, your returns, your investment, like today, it costs a lot of money today to sit on a shelf and to get your product off a shelf. And if you don't understand the whole value chain from start to finish, you could be going in and walking yourself into a black hole. So I think having more support around the day-to-day analysis to drive a business is really important.
That makes sense. Data. I don't
think
you won't get poorer by knowing too much, will you? Mm. Okay. Listen, ladies, unfortunately, we have run out of time, but thank you so much to Noreen Gallagher of Plantit and my old pal, Mary Sadler of Cool Swan. And thank you so much for listening to this episode 12 of the Love Irish Food podcast series. As the title suggests, there are 11 other podcasts waiting for you to listen back to, all involving experts within the Irish food industry. All well worth a listen. Do listen back. So from me, Conal Moran, thank you so much for listening.
The Love Irish Food Podcast. For more information, visit www.loveirishfood.ie.